Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing.
This is going to take hours. I can just feel it.
Movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people. Look, if there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Not us, because it's probably Machu. Anywho, welcome everybody to the podcast, Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. We are celebrating our 5th year anniversary, guys. I can't believe this. I know somebody else can't believe this, and the person that can't believe it is Stacey. How are you, Stacey?
I'm super excited to be here.
Back off! You're still super excited after 5 years.
Yes, I actually am blown away that this is still going after 5 years.
I'm glad one of us is getting blown away, Stacey. I'm glad one of us is getting blown, right?
Sure.
We started this 5 years ago. We recorded an episode on X-Men Apocalypse, that Paul Rudd movie.
We did a couple of practice runs.
And a Star Trek. I think we did a couple of practice runs, and then yep. We sat down with an iPhone and recorded Ghostbusters 2016. And put that out.
Yeah.
What the fuck were we thinking? What a film to start on, eh?
Well, it was just happened to be the one that was on that week.
Is that really true? The first one?
Ghostbusters. Yes. Yeah, Ghostbusters. 2016, the remake.
It bombed like that episode, eh?
No, it was actually a fantastic episode to start on because of all the internet backlash. Mm. It was perfect because it was such a controversial remake. It's like, let's throw our 2 cents into the mix and see what happens.
Yeah, and what happened was we got about 7 listens and we thought, fuck it, let's go again.
Yeah, we're like, woohoo, 7 people listened.
Yeah.
That wasn't us.
Cheers, Mum. Cheers, Mum, for downloading 3 or 4 different podcasts.
Has your mum actually listened to it?
No, she's never listened to a fucking episode of the show.
Might have been my mum.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And talking about something strange, Machu, you've been along for the ride since pretty early days.
Yeah, I think I've done about, how many episodes are we up to now?
We're up to 183.
So this will be my 4th episode, I think. Going for double digits.
Yeah. That we've released.
Yeah, we keep recording episodes with Machu, but they don't make it out the door.
Well, my favourite's got to be the one where me and Sam couldn't get over talking about Vanessa Hudgens and...
You mean the lost episode of Bad Boys 3, and we were like, let's go home and record an episode now, both blind drunk, and we talked for about an hour and a half, and then I was like, we're at question 3, bro, we should just give it up.
And then you actually thought the next morning, right, I'm going to get up and edit that episode, and then you started listening to it sober and went, oh.
It was embarrassing. But the film we are doing this week is, because we did Ghostbusters 2016 to start with, we've decided to celebrate the 5-year anniversary by going back and doing the original Ghostbusters. Everybody knows this film. We don't need to give a plot. We don't need to give a cast. I mean, we all know it. You know, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, Sigourney Weaver, Machu as Slimer. we all know the cast for this film. So
I slimed him.
Little green round thing just coming straight at you and leaving you covered in goo. Yeah. It's definitely Machu.
That's my trademark.
I can still have nightmares. But looking at the scores for this film, 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, 71% on Metacritic. It's kind of one of the most beloved comedies of all time. So I'm really curious to see what these guys think. I'm going to start with you, Stacey. Oh, but first of all, though, if you haven't heard this podcast before, we review a movie by asking 20 questions about it, start with 10 that can be applied to any film, then move through 3 personal questions that we thought of while we were watching this film, and then finish on a Patreon question this week. But first one we start with is a sandwich question, which is either a compliment sandwich, a shit sandwich, or a hyperbole sandwich. Stacey, what's your sandwich going to be, and out of 10,000 ghost traps?
Okay, so mine's going to be a compliment sandwich.
Wow.
The first good thing is purely nostalgia. This is a great, fun family movie from your childhood. Everyone who was born or grew up in the 80s has seen this, loved it, and thought it was heaps of fun. So I was quite happy to rewatch this. My bad thing is Venkman's sleaziness has not dated well.
This understatement of the year. Jesus, is incredibly creepy.
I guess as a kid, you don't notice that stuff, right? You're just like, oh, he's this funny, cheesy guy. But As an adult watching this, nah, no way.
He's literally preying on his university students. You know, any girl, every chance he gets.
Yeah. His, every customer he comes across, every woman he walks past in the street, basically.
They even have it on the radio or something that he was up partying all night with the local girls or something. And it's just like, what is this dude up to?
Oh, so sleazy.
Living his best life.
PhD and giving out the D.
Sure. And my final good thing is, God, it's so easy to get a job in this movie, in this world.
That's a good thing. It's easy to get a job.
Yeah.
Save the Stacey answer for at least a couple of them in, man.
No way. I'm hitting it up front. Yeah, old mate walks in, applies for the job, and they're like, yeah, sweet, come with us. You're hired. Yeah. They don't even say hello. They don't even find out his name. They don't know anything about
him. No criminal check or nothing.
He's in. He's like, oh, great, you're the only person. Awesome. Yeah. We'll have you.
Do you have ESP experience, ghost experience? None of that. He's like, you're hired.
Sweet.
We're all scientists. What do you do? Yeah, I've just...
Yeah, what is he doing? I drive cars. Isn't that what he's... Isn't his job? He's a chauffeur?
Is that what it was?
I've got no idea.
Well, that's what he does in the film. He kind of drives the ghostmobile.
The plot nowhere. Yeah, he kind of does do that. Yeah.
Okay, so my score out of... what is it?
10,000 ghost traps.
Ghost traps is 8,500 ghost traps.
Wow. Okay, listeners, she is selling out right now because we watched this movie a week ago and Stacey said to me, haven't we watched this in the last 6 months? And I said, yes, we have. And then she said, this movie is so forgettable.
It doesn't mean it's bad.
Okay. It's true. I've had many a trip to KFC. I don't remember any of them. Exactly. I would still rate all of them 8,000.
Exactly. I think it's the whole nostalgia piece. It's like, how can you say that this movie is any less than that?
Okay, interesting. Let's see. Let's see what Muchie's going to say.
Yeah, I had nostalgia. That's one of my first good thing about this film. It just brings back all those memories of Ghostbusters when I was a kid and running around trying to battle ghosts and stuff like that.
You're still trying to battle your ghosts, aren't you? Battling a few
I lived in a bad part of town. Who's that in the darkness? It's a ghost. Again? All my toys are going missing.
I'm a ghost.
And my second great thing is similar. Similar to what Stacey was talking about as well. I just thought this is an iconic performance from Bill Murray. This is like the best performer. This is his career defining movie.
Oh, it's unforgettable, his performance. That is true.
Like, yeah, he steals every scene.
He does, but for the right reasons.
This is Machu you're talking about.
This
here.
Is a kid's movie.
Machu loves like, creepy he's dudes like, on screen. Come like, on, man.
He's like drugging girls.
Trying to hook up with possessed girls.
Yeah, he's got a rule, and he breaks them all. I would never hook up with a possessed girl, but that's not a card rule. And I just love the music in this film. Like, all the music was so good.
Oh, you mean that one song?
No, that's like the soundtrack throughout this whole movie. It's great. I love it.
Apart from the theme song, name one other song.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, man.
I don't know. What are you guys called? The score.
Oh, the score, yeah.
Whatever that. The ones, all the songs with no words. With all the movie geeks who have gone, the score.
The devocaled music.
Fucking music.
Okay.
The score is what you get when you do a test.
Absolutely.
But a score in a rugby game, not a score in music.
So hyperbole sandwich then.
Yeah, hyperbole.
How much?
12,000.
12,000 out of 10,000.
12. Jeez. That's a great movie.
Anyway, yeah, on to me. Compliment sandwich. I'm not going to go full hyperbole like Machu. First good thing. Generally engaging story. I really liked how it went here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, literally.
Engaging story. It's like the biggest bullshit story ever, right?
Yeah, but that's like, it's fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's engaging in that it's fun and like you just get taken on this adventure. However, the bad thing is I don't feel like we spend enough time with the characters to really get a feel for who they are, and it chops and changes all over the place, and, you know, characters get introduced, we have no idea who they are and shit like that. Like, Dan Aykroyd, last third of the movie, what does he do? He just fades into the background.
No, he's the heart of the film.
Yeah, he's the heart of the film, but like he just goes missing. But you know, like yeah, so that was my bad thing. And then well, there's a couple of other stuff that we'll bring up later. And then I just wrote funny.
It's funny.
Okay. What an answer, Sam. It's funny.
I just wrote funny.
Wait, guys, this is super fucking important. Let me bring my notes up. Funny. So, yeah, that's why I'm going to give this a score of 7,000.
Ooh.
And 312.
Yeah.
I still enjoy it, but it's not. I don't have the same nostalgia boner that you guys have for this film. Still a good film, don't get me wrong, but yeah, not nearly as in love with it as you guys.
Interesting.
Anywho, moves over to question number two, the first of our Patreon questions. This question comes courtesy of our man, Nerdtrovert, aka Jason. Anywho, what's his question there, Stace?
At what point during the movie was the best time for a bathroom break?
I had any scene with Winston.
I'll touch on it later, but he's...
He comes in the middle of the film and it's like, why? Like, why? I don't get it. And he has all has the worstly written character. Like, he has the worst lines. All his lines are terrible. And it's like, and you know, he just turns up and he gets a job and it's like, what's going on? I don't even, and it doesn't add to anything. So it's like, I could have done without.
Without him, yeah.
What they're trying to prove is that they're so busy they need to expand their empire.
Yeah.
And... Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a question for this later, and I'm just going to answer it now. Like, that part was written for Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And then when
yeah.
Eddie Murphy turned it down to go to Beverly Hills Cop, they basically rewrote it so that he didn't have as big a role. And so they got Ernie Hudson on, who was, you know, relatively no name compared to Eddie Murphy at the time. And as a result, they've ended up with this character that's just jammed in there.
Yeah.
I've got to point out, though, he's not the only character that comes in the middle. You're forgetting when Dan Aykroyd gets a blowjob from that ghost.
Yeah. Actually, and I had that as another part I wouldn't mind taking a bathroom break. He's sitting in bed with, like, his three mates. Oh, that they're, like, in single
two
beds
mates,
and all that. Yeah. And he's just, like, having a wet dream over a ghost. And, like, I didn't need to see that.
Imagine if he had a dream that he was skiing and he had a pole in both hands and he was just skiing downhill with his two mates.
Yeah. Silicon Valley.
He's looking at us in absolute disgust right now.
Yeah.
The part for me is when Rick Moranis comes out of his room, like predatory as hell, and just jumps on Sigourney Weaver and starts trying to convince her to go to the party. She's not going to come to your party, bro. Give it up. It doesn't add anything to the movie.
He's a good guy. He's an accountant. I mean, obviously, top man.
What do you do
stop,
for a job?
Yeah, I'm an accountant. Yeah, let's stop picking on Rick. He's the man. And this Lewis is the unsung hero of this film.
Unsung hero.
Yes, he's the unsung hero.
Little man.
Short accountant.
Yeah, he's a short accountant.
On woman that
he's only an inch taller than me, or maybe a couple inches. In all the wrong places.
All I'm going to say is about that part was like, we didn't need it. It wasn't necessary.
No, we did.
It doesn't add.
We did. That was our introduction to his character.
Yeah, but we could have had him later on. You know, it wasn't that important. It didn't add that much to the story.
We would have just cut to his party and we would have been like, who the fuck is this guy having a party? Ghosts in his apartment.
Okay, Captain fucking Brainiac, when was your answer?
Okay, it was in the scene where Sigourney Weaver's character is possessed. I did not need to see sleazy old Bill Murray trying to hook up a possessed chick.
Talk about this iconic performance, career defining?
Exactly.
That establishes his character. Didn't know that
okay,
part.
We wouldn't have known
that she was possessed. We wouldn't have known what sort of character is. We wouldn't have known.
He's reliving something that literally happened to a maid. She gets real high. She gets about 4 feet off the ground at one point.
Yes.
She's crazy. And you know what makes someone on drugs, you know, even, you know, it cures people on drugs? More drugs. That's what he does. He like knocks her out with more drugs.
Yeah.
What is he a doctor of? 20Qs
psychology, parapsychology, and also prescription drugs. Like,
psychologists do prescribe quite a lot of drugs.
Oh, they do.
I'd just like to take this time to point out that the podcast Movie Reviews in 20Qs does not endorse the use of drugs or more drugs.
If you're taking heaps of drugs, it's probably not a good idea to have more drugs.
I don't think anybody out there listening ever listens to you anyway, but I've just got to add the disclaimer anyway. Anyway, moves us over to question number three. What is it there, Machu?
What is the biggest dick move in this movie? And I'm going to do the biggest dick move right now and to answer this question first. And because I just want to jump in there, and I'm going to say Dana. She is the biggest dick move because the nice accountant, Lewis, comes out, asks her politely to come to his party, and she's such a bitch. Like, she just like completely brushes him. He's like looking after her apartment. He's trying to climb on the balcony, get into her apartment, turn off her loud TV.
Like, so you think she should be rewarding creepy behavior?
And look, and you know what a sign of a really good man is? How many people turn up to your party? And his party was packed.
How are you not
it
in
was.
Jail?
And what? So yeah, Dana, what a bitch.
I would have picked the part where she snuck past the party, maybe. That was a bit rude, but nope, going with that. Okay, nice guy. I am going to talk about Rick Moranis' character, Lewis, though. How about the part where he gets chased by a bear out of the hotel building through Central Park, runs up on a restaurant, starts banging on the windows, help me, let me in. And everyone's just like, nah.
Yeah. It's another accountant. He's expendable.
Yeah. That is true.
How dare he interrupt our special dinner? The biggest dick move was EPA guy. Come on, guys. He just is the biggest dick in the movie.
Excuse me.
What?
What is wrong with a government official trying to do their job? Thank you.
Okay, so he comes in, asks them to shut down their reactor ghost storage facility thing, which by shutting down releases all the ghosts into the environment.
They've got a fucking homemade nuclear plant in their fucking basement. And I've got sympathy for him. I've got sympathy. That's
Sam once
what?
Oh, he's just trying to do his job. Poor guy.
Anyway, that takes us to question number four. Which two characters from this film have banged and they aren't telling anyone? And we've all got the same answer here, right? Ghost Ace?
Janine and Egon.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I had that. But I also had Lewis and Dana.
Nah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the gate.
Wish fulfillment.
No.
Character. No. Stop trying to see yourself in there. Like, yeah, I got laid once. This guy must have as well.
No, the key, he hooks up with her. Like, the key master and the gatekeeper.
Oh,
and
yeah,
she's,
they
she's
did.
She's just like hanging
kiss.
Out. She's like, oh, I'm just going to nail anyone that walks through this door.
True.
Are you the key master? Or is that what it is, the key master?
Yeah, I think so.
Good old accountants coming through. She's probably like, no, that didn't happen.
You would be, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Same as Stace. Yeah, I mean, there's that part where Egon pops out from underneath her desk and it's like, fix that for you. It's just like, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. What was he really doing under there?
Exactly.
Janine's got him wrapped around her finger. Look at her. She's just in there reading a book.
I wouldn't say wrapped around her finger. I think she's got legs wrapped around his face is probably more accurate a description.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anywho, this is over to Stace. What's the question there, Stace? Your favourite question.
It is my favourite question. How would you have inserted Nicolas Cage into this film?
I had Dickless, old the EPA guy.
Dickless, yeah.
I reckon, yeah, he'd be a good angry villain.
Yeah, shut this down.
He would be. Absolutely would be. Similar to you, just like a little bit role. The other cellist of violin, I don't know. What the other guy in her band.
Musician.
The other musician that was like, who's that guy?
The one that like had hay fever or something.
Yeah, I could just imagine him as that dude, just that sort of creepy guy that's sort of leeching around here. And
Another toilet break moment, eh?
Old
hay fever man.
Yeah, and another appalling scene from Bill Murray.
Or iconic, one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two.
Shame we don't have controversial opinion, because I feel like you'd say that this Bill Murray role sucks. Well, you mean you already have. But
yeah, exactly. That's
there you go,
Holyoke,
there's a bonus one just for you.
It is, yeah. Okay, so Nicolas Cage as Slimer, the green ghost in the banquet hall.
The short round green ghost. You're going to take away a role from a Māori person. The only New Zealander in this film. You're going to take away the only Kiwi's role and give it to Nicolas Cage.
Yes,
this coming from a guy who eats popcorn from a rubbish bag. A 90-litre rubbish bag. Not just once, many times.
My flatmate worked at the movies. He brought home leftover popcorn. I was a struggling university student. What am I going to do? They fed me for a week.
Who can even eat that much popcorn?
Me, motherfucker.
There's not much food there. It's mainly air, right?
That's what I love is like when everyone's, you know, like whenever anybody brings up a comment of like, what's your favorite food? And people come up with like dishes and stuff like that. And it's like steak, popcorn, chicken. You're just naming three different food ingredients. Is it caramel corn? No. Is it a filet mignon? No. It's just that.
Man of simple taste.
That's why Meru.
Oh, God.
Eject.
That sounded like Marge Simpson, eh?
Sammy. Well done, listeners. You were there for the start of our podcast, and you were there for our final one. Coming up on next week's episode, how to be a sad, lonely man.
Yeah.
Anywho, moves us over to question number 6. Also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our man, Chris Yeni. Fuck you, the man, Chris. Thank you for tagging us in International Podcast Day. It meant a lot to us. It was pretty awesome. What's his question there, Machu?
What song would you have put into this movie and in what scene?
And we try to be as on the nose as possible. So we have the scene where Lewis goes into the room and he hears the growling sound and he comes out and he's like, who brought the dog? And then the dog comes jumping out of the room. Who let the dogs out? We need to retire that song.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that song retired already?
Yes.
Okay. My song choice is in the scene where Sigourney Weaver's character Dana is possessed. And old Creepy McCreep Face is
in
there.
You can't get over this scene. Can't Creepy McCreep Face. Isn't that where you've got Muchu Saved Airs on your phone?
Daniel Day-Lewis Bill Murray. I can't quite tell the difference.
The song is Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. But when?
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss you when you hit that high.
I had a Lonely Island classic for my song. It's when Dan Aykroyd's having a dream in the room with his two mates and jizz in my pants. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, I feel like Lonely Island is now banned from all future podcasts because they're just
bolts and holes.
Not a Lonely Island song. That song is from Step Brothers.
I'm trying to make it.
I'm sure they've done a rendition.
They probably have. He's thinking,
I'm on a boat.
There we go. Moves us over to question number 7. What was the most preposterously insane leap of logic in this film?
The ghosts.
You mean a movie about ghosts?
Yeah.
The most preposterously insane thing is that there's ghosts.
Yeah. And a group of grown men running around New York City capturing them? Yeah.
Hey, Muchu, do you know what the most preposterously insane thing about the movie Mighty Ducks was? Yeah. It was an ice hockey game.
Yeah. Gladiators when they fought in the ring.
No. Oh, there was that movie Titanic. There was a boat. I couldn't get over it, bro. There was a boat in the movie Titanic. I was like, what the fuck is this? It was like when they had all those airplanes in Top Gun. I was like, what is going on here? I love you. I really do.
This entire film is an insane leap of logic.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Yeah, now we meet. Yeah.
I thought the most insane leap of logic is imagine going into the bank and you want a loan and they say to you, what are you going to spend it on? And you go, I've just started a new business. Catching ghosts.
Exactly. You agree with me. Here's the accountant coming out.
Yeah, catching ghosts.
Yeah.
So how much do you catch ghosts for?
Yeah, what's the going rate?
How do you get them? What I do is I put a nuclear reactor on my back. You put a nuclear reactor on your back.
Yeah.
So you're out there buying radium. was that?
Yeah. I've got this mate, Doc Brown, that buys uranium off Libyans, uranium, and now I'm buying uranium. Some as well.
Yeah, mate. You're on meth, right?
Yeah, and here's all the cash. See you later.
Here's all the money I'm making on. Hey, speaking of Bill Murray, the one for me was that Venkman has two PhDs. Like, we've talked about this. This guy seems like the most laziest, inept, like, sex-obsessed fucking dude in the world. How the hell he got two PhDs? But on top of that, like just you mentioned, these guys are walking around with nuclear reactors on their back. How did they not blow themselves into a million fucking pieces and pretty much the entire town around them the first time they tried on this shit? You know? Like, yeah, how do they know what they're going to do works, first of all? How do they know it's going to catch
how
ghosts?
Did they not cross streams earlier before the guy said, don't cross streams?
Exactly. I cross streams with my mates all the time.
They cross streams in the first scene. Like the very first, when they catch Slimer, I was watching it. They're like, the streams were wrapped around each other. The hell's going on here? Stupid plot holes.
Hyperbole sandwich though? Is still hyperbole?
Oh yeah, hyperbole. If you know, when you're a kid and dreamed about the Ghostbusters car and having that, but so many memories.
No, I had a real life, bro.
Yeah. Well, you can just fill those plot holes up with marshmallow and get over it.
Have you been drinking our bourbon? What is going on here?
You know, in the film, they had the proton packs and they shoot from the hip. So they don't aim with their shoulder and it just goes in a squiggly line.
Yeah.
It's literally like these
moronic,
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just taking the piss. Hey,
yeah.
They take the piss so bad, they make their weapons, you know, literally take a piss.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
They take a piss so bad they cross streams.
Yeah, they don't want to cross streams. It's so good.
They're trying to shoot from the hip and look like Wild West or sort of thing. Yeah.
That's why this is a hyperbole sandwich.
Oh, my God. Let's move on to the next question. Question number 8. Patreon question comes courtesy of our amazing friend, Emily Higgins, of the Tasteless Podcast, a podcast that compares two films. One that she doesn't feel gets the love it deserves. She compares that to a film that she feels is overrated. Go check her out. She's awesome. What's your question there, Saz?
Emily would like to know, what character has gone the longest without showering?
I'm just going to say Ray, because he is like, he's just the messiest man out of the, like, mm-hmm. What, yeah. He's having wet dreams.
I agree.
Rolling around on his own filth. Goes disappearing for the last bit of the movie. Yeah.
Exactly. And they walk into this horrible, decrepit, horrible building that they're going to rent, covered in spiderwebs and whatnot. And he's like, hey, guys, we should stay the night here. You really settle in and get used to it. It's like, this guy is not all up in the hygiene business.
Yeah. It's insane because he goes from like panic buying, like, or panicking over a mortgage, to like, oh my God, I can't believe I can afford this. And then the first shithole they go look at, he's like, yep, this is the place. It's got a pole.
Yeah,
it's got
my
a pole.
Entire life, you know, finance is going into this.
Yeah.
I love it.
And probably all three. I can't imagine they have showers at fire hydrant.
Oh, no.
Fire stations. Or
Egon looks like a pretty snappy dude. And then.
Yeah, well, he's having a shower
Venkman's,
at Janine's place.
Venkman's, yeah. Venkman's going on all these dates, so he'd be a clean man, you'd hope.
Is he, though?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Stacey. Like, I reckon if he got up out of bed and walked away, his sheets would still keep moving, bro. He looks a bit filthy. The one for me is the old lady that got terrified by the ghosts at the start.
You reckon? She's a nice, you know, librarian. I just assume that very
organized.
Why did
I write here? I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You just assume that because people are old, they don't wash.
Okay, guilty. Yeah.
She's having a sponge bath, not a shower. Is that what you're thinking?
No, not necessarily. I think she's been so terrified by that ghost that she's too scared to, you know, be alone now. So she never leaves anyone's company, so she never has a shower.
Right.
And if you believe that,
we go back
I have
that.
Some magic beans to tell you.
We go back to that insane leap of logic question.
Yeah.
Let's move on to question number 9. What is it there, Munchu?
What quote from this film would be the worst to hear after sex?
It's true. This man has no dick.
Mine is, I'm terrified beyond the ability for rational thought.
I like that. Yeah. I like that's good.
This is something I never want to hear. Oh, well.
But you have.
Yeah. he slimed me.
yes, you don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
You're right.
He slimed me.
He slimed me, yeah. You don't want to hear a girl say that to you.
Is that just a small leap of logic? Not an insane one. Yeah.
Well, I collect spores, molds, and funguses pretty gross, eh? Like, that's how Egon tried to get out of his relationship with Janine. What's wrong with Janine, by the way? Oh, she's a bit of a hottie.
She is.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Until you hear that, you're like, there's something I don't want to hear after.
Ghostbusters, what do you want? You've got a job.
Anywho, moves us down to question number 10. Also, Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of our man, Nick Haskins of Nikolai's Kitchen. Awesome cooking podcast you should all check out, especially soon when Stacey's on an episode. Can't wait. He tagged us in something today and said, by the way, yes, 100%, Stacey is going to be in an episode soon. So
woohoo!
Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't
yeah, we
wait.
Need to
can't
make wait. That happen.
Cool. And his question, what type of meal is this film?
This is a really cheesy burger.
Yeah.
Like really yummy, lots of gooey cheese. Mm-mm.
And like heaps of fat, eh? Because it's pretty dirty.
Yeah.
It's a dirty, nasty burger.
Fucking greasy burger.
Greasy.
Greasy. Greasy slime ball burger.
Yep, it is.
And just when you think, you know, you're finished, it just comes back and starts greasing you up again and...
It just sticks to you. Just won't leave you alone.
Won't leave you alone. Can't get the smell of it out of your hair.
Yep.
Leave stains on your shirt.
Oh,
and,
yep.
And even though you don't want it, you keep coming back for more.
Just when you think you had enough, you shove some more down your throat.
And then you completely regret it. Okay, I'm leaving after the next question.
I love your question. We should probably just leave it there. But
and that's the end. Question 10 done. What about you, Machu? What do you got?
Oh, no, it's not as good as that. No, I just said, I thought everyone would say this. I went probably the dorky way. Just a warm, toasty marshmallow while sitting around a campfire listening to ghost stories.
Very sweet.
Yeah, that's kind of
so it's warm and toasty. It's iconic and lovely what Bill Murray does to everyone.
Jeez. That's the well thought answer.
You know.
Marshmallows are slimy too.
Camp leader Venkman.
Very well thought out, Machu. Not very funny, but still very well thought out. Very well thought out. The one I went for is pasta. Some people love pasta. They think it's great. They think it's the fucking best thing ever. You know, different types of pasta, spag bol, whatever. Some people love it. I don't. Some people.
It's great when people just come up with an answer on the spot.
Give it literally no thought.
Fucking looking at my Google history.
It's about the enthusiasm, though, in your answer.
Absolutely. No, what can I say, man? Like, pasta isn't for me. Neither is this film, really. It is, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Okay, so this is a situation where as the podcast goes on, your score gets lower.
Yeah, I fucking hate this film.
The villain is the villain is basically
why
sad.
Why do people like this shit?
Why did you give it such a good score?
I don't know.
It's forgettable.
I don't know.
You hate it. You didn't like it when you watched it the first time.
I'm kidding. Like, oh, I'm not. But I enjoyed it. The truth's unraveling. I'm supposed to like this, but it's all right. It's fine. My score is going down, actually. It's probably about a 6,000 now.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, do you think we should call it quits before it gets lower or what?
No, let's just move on to our personal questions. Who's up first? Machu, what do you got there, bro?
All right. Question number 11. Replace one of the characters with a well-known actor from 1984 to make this film better.
I've already done it. Eddie Murphy. Who knows how good this film would have been if he'd been in there. I might have actually really, really liked this film. Might be hyperbole sandwiches, so who knows.
Hmm. I think this film would have been improved if we had swapped out Bill Murray and replaced him with Michael J. Fox in a young, preppy, enthusiastic Venkman who's actually likable and not sleazing on every female in the movie. That would have been really nice.
You know, that's all Marty McFly used to do, eh, on his skateboard, is chase around girls. And one of them was his mum. Gee, that's the creepiest of the creeps.
We've watched Back to the Future a year ago. He was really creepy. He found his dad hanging out up a tree. And then we saw him, like, just prowling on girls on his skateboard and shit.
Trying to steal his mum off his dad.
I think his mum's trying to steal himself off his
but
dad.
Then, so I knew about Eddie Murphy, but I didn't know that John Belushi was lined up to play Ray, it turned out. So that was really interesting, but obviously he passed away. And then Michael Keaton was lined up to play either Venkman or Egon.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, Chevy Chase was lined up to play Venkman. And that would have been, who was the creepiest day?
The Battle of the Creeps.
Yeah. I'd say Chevy Chase more than Bill Murray, because like Bill Murray has kept up a pretty good reputation, whereas Chevy Chase is a fucking jackass everybody that's worked with him doesn't say nice things about him.
So I think they must have put more emphasis into Bill Murray's role when Eddie Murphy left, because someone had to pick up all the jokes. And obviously, Dan Aykroyd can't act, and Egon is not an actor. So, and then John Candy was actually supposed to be Lewis. So that would have been quite interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But apparently he wanted to change the character bit to be a German, and they couldn't figure out why. That would have been funny. But I thought Rick Moranis was a better choice. He was great in the film.
Dear listeners, if you're sitting at home right now going, this is a ridiculous amount of trivia from Muchu, maybe I should go listen to some other episodes of his. No, this is the first time in 5 years he's shown up prepared. What is going on? We need to find more hyperbole sandwich films for you.
Hyperboles, boys. Oh, get into it.
Aside from old Fast 9, you didn't really have much trivia on that aside from family.
Family. So that's
family.
Every question we could have just said family and gone around, and that's that would have been in.
Yeah, would have been a suitable answer. What's your next question there, Muchu?
Question number 12. What part of this film has not dated well?
We've
heard about the Bill Murray.
Yeah, we've heard about Bill Murray.
I was just going to say, do I need to say again?
Special effects.
Special effects were awful. Eh?
They were horrendous, man. They were like comically bad. But it's funny because watching this as a kid, you watched it and you're like, wow, this is like real, like the Stay Puft Marshmallow. I mean, oh my god, he's walking down through New York and all that sort of shit. It's not till you get older that you realize how just tackly, obviously bad, not green screened, but like, you know, superimposed onto the film, all that sort of shit. You can see it. You can see its models. And
I actually thought Stay Puft Man was a comparatively good special effect compared to everything else in the movie.
I was about, if you get smacked in the face with somebody by a brick and then they hit you with a feather, of course you're going to go, wow, that felt nice. You're still getting smacked in the face.
But apparently that was a suit, eh? So that wasn't a special effect.
Would it have been one of those big inflatable things?
They had all... Here's another bit of trivia for you, Whanu.
What the fuck is going on?
They used 3 Stay Puft Marshmallow suits in the film and all 3 got destroyed.
Neat.
Did everyone take a bathroom break then?
What's the next question there, bro?
Oh, actually, but just before I go, I thought the other thing that didn't date well was the hairstyles. Like, since when has, like, the lead male role have, like, a receding hairline? Hey, he's got the, what do they call that? The shark?
Widow's Peak.
The Widow's Peak.
The Widow's Peak. It's either a Widow's Peak or 2 Kramers, bro.
Yeah, or 2 Kramers. They were full Kramers. Imagine that being the hairstyle. I'd be such a hottie.
Yeah. I'm a bald man. I reckon I'd be doing fucking... Yeah. No, who am I kidding?
And saying that, the lead female has like a ginger perm. You don't see that in current day.
I wonder when perms
come back. I'll tell you what, Ginger Princess, if you permed your hair, you see what happens.
You levitated 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah, you would be 4 feet off the ground, I'm telling you now.
Sam is as tall as he is wide on the best days.
I'm like a cube.
Okay.
What are we doing? What are we talking about? What's the next question then, Machu?
Question number 13. What is the most memorable aspect of this film for you?
Listeners, if you're sitting there right now saying, hey, Machu, you've asked generic questions that can be applied to any film. It's almost like you didn't watch the film before you recorded the podcast. That's right. He came up with the questions last night before he watched it last night.
Today. Right.
Well, today. This morning at work and then on the way to our house.
Yeah, they're very non-specific, these questions, because it was hard to come up with them when you haven't watched the film.
That's correct. I mean, all of these things you could recognise anywhere, but I feel like the song is going to be the one that you're still singing after the movie. You know, like songs get stuck in your head. Scenes don't really get stuck in your head. So, yeah, definitely the song.
For me, it's Stay Puft. Marshmallow Man is the bomb. Like, that's the memorable thing. It's like, oh, is this the movie with Marshmallow Man? Yeah.
Yeah.
He is the bomb, yes.
And I think you're wrong, Sam. There's a few scenes. The old don't cross the streams. Everyone remembers that. You know, go.
This man has no dick.
This man has no dick. Yeah. And
I remember as a kid thinking, he's got no dick. Like, logically, like, wow.
What happened to it?
Wow.
I did say if you play with it too much, it breaks off. And probably the car.
Prove them wrong, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I try to break it. And then probably the car. I thought the car's like, that's pretty iconic. Every time you see that, and it makes that funny ambulance sound.
Mm. Yeah, true. Yep, the car's very iconic. Cool. And that moves me over to my questions. First of all, how the hell did Lewis, an accountant? I'm just staring at Machu while I read this question. How did Lewis, the accountant, get so many people to his party? Because I've been to a couple of accountants' parties here, listeners. And,
Well, there you go. You've just answered your own question. He's an accountant. He's got the personality of a phone book, an encyclopedia, and a dictionary put together.
Correct.
Well, I think it's obvious. He's saved these people so much money in tax. They're like, yeah, you're the man. We've got thousands of dollars in our bank account thanks to you. So, yeah, we'll happily go to your party.
Yeah, it's the one time we can talk to you, come see you, but not actually talk to you and dance around your house.
Exactly. We can just talk to other people who are there.
It's kind of one of those win-win situations. It's like when you go to a wedding or go to a mate's party where you know there's heaps of people going to be there and you don't really like the person that much. So you can show up there, you only have to talk to them for like a minute and then you can just go hang out with your real mates, you know? It's like, it's kind of win-win. Did I tell you about this accountant's party I went to this time?
Have you seen the girls that have an OnlyFans account, like they sell their naked
fuck is this going?
Their naked videos on the net, and there's that joke where they say, "What do you do? Like, where are you getting all your money from?" And they say, "I'm an accountant," and there's no follow-up questions. The amount of times I've gone to parties and the people have asked me, "What do you do?" I'm like, "An accountant," and there's just nothing. They don't even say, "Cool, that's interesting. Tell me about your day." They sort of just look at their feet and
shuffle off. Yep.
Turn around slowly. So if you're a drug dealer or you know you're a porn star and you're a bit embarrassed about what you do, just say you're an accountant. No, there'll be no follow-up questions.
Imagine having an interesting job, eh? Imagine that.
Yeah. Weird.
Anywho.
That's an insane leap of logic.
Imagine that. Anywho, moves me over to my next question. So at the end, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man explodes into a million globs. I was going to say pieces, but globs. Globs of marshmallow. And Egon Spengler says that he feels like the floor of a New York taxi. What is a more accurate description for him?
I think me and Matt are going to have the same answer. It's a foam party.
Oh, God.
Oh. No, I don't.
I've set you guys up.
Yeah. I thought, what did he say? A floor of a New York taxi?
Floor of a New York taxi.
I was thinking more like the floor of a teenage boy's bedroom. Like,
that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Don't touch any socks if you've got sons. Jesus.
Or special towels. Yeah. Okay, wanky blankies.
Yeah. You put it, get them an ensuite. And never touch the walls.
Absolutely. That's what I was looking for. Anywho, moves me over to my final question. So who do you guys feel more sorry for? The EPA man or Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Stay Puft. He's just an innocent bystander. He's just a figment of Ray's imagination. He wasn't doing anything.
He's the destroyer. He's going to...
Isn't he Zool?
Yeah, but he didn't choose to be the embodiment of Zool. It's like saying you hate Dana or you, you know, like...
Maybe I do.
She didn't. Okay.
I literally do. She like... She she's rude to the accountant.
Okay. EPA man is not the embodiment of anything except for an EPA man.
Yeah.
He's just doing his fucking job, man. They have a nuclear reactor and a basement.
I agree with this because, yeah, like these dudes have a nuclear reactor. They're like carrying around on their backs and no one's worried about it. He's the only one that goes, hey, dudes, like you can't do that.
Machu, what are the adverse effects of having a nuclear reactor on your back?
Don't know.
Radiation poisoning?
I suspect you can't have kids. And if you do, they have three eyes and one leg. And that leg's got a wheel on the bottom of it.
Causing every atom in the universe to suddenly implode on itself or scream out, and what the fuck, whatever Egon's quote is.
Yes.
Imagine every single...
But the problem with this guy is... He doesn't exactly seem like an expert in nuclear environmental impacts, does he?
Okay. He's a government official just doing his job. You know what his real problem is?
What is? Oh, he doesn't have a dick?
No, he's ginger. Yeah. In your face, Ginger Princess. Yeah. In your face. You come after my man.
Yeah. You brought him down.
You come for the king, you best not miss.
The EPA.
Yes, I've been watching The Wire. Fucking what of it?
We're halfway through the podcast. I'm the accountant, and Sam and Stacey combined are the EPA men. If you guys have a baby, he's gonna shut down the Ghostbusters one day.
Fern probably would. She'd get a lot of enjoyment out of shutting down the Ghostbusters.
No, Ghostbusters, stop.
Literally, Fern's
shut that
catchphrase.
Down.
No, stop.
Get out of here, Dickless. I am Dickless. I'm a girl.
So true. On to you, Stace. What have you got?
Okay, I would like to know, what is the most ham-fisted product placement in this film?
You had issues with this film and a lot of the things
every
in it.
Every second scene, I was like, whoa, they're showing you a product before they even show you the characters or what's going on in the script.
I just want to pull back the curtain a little bit. Like, they can't show brands in films unless they've had sign-off from that brand, and that brand then usually pays them money to be in that film. Hence the word product placement. What do you got, bro? What do you got?
Your answer.
No, that's not my answer.
I didn't even notice that. I was so, you know, so much involved in Bill Murray's performance. I had to watch it again and try and find some product placement.
Yeah, slime that Bill Murray. Ooh, yeah.
The Coke scenes, like the Coke cans just looked like they were giant cans. Like I drink a lot of Coke.
So. We are right now. We've drunk an incredible amount of Coke and bourbon.
Yeah. So, and I've never had seen a can that big sitting in a toolbox right next to the disinfectant where you're like, I'll just put some, I might drink my giant can of drink right next to something that could kill me by accident if I picked it up and took a skull of it. Yeah, like that's pretty obvious. And then just pretty much every scene after that, like you go into Sigourney Weaver's fridge and there's, when she's looking for Zool, and there's about 10 Cokes in there. And like, she'd be a bit bigger than that if she's drinking that much junk food. I think Bill Murray, you know, he's trying to neg her, he's trying to put her down so she loses confidence and likes him, the old creep. But
I love that. I love, by the way, that you brought this up, because Stacey's next question is about going into Sigourney Weaver's fridge and looking for Zool.
What is your question? What is your answer, Sam?
Fridge and looking for Zool.
Sam, what is your answer to the product?
Where are we? Oh, the product placement. Yes. I mean, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Holy shit, man. Stay Puft Marshmallows. We get a shot of the marshmallows at Sigourney Weaver's apartment. I mean, they're just sitting there.
Yeah, why is she buying marshmallows? She's skinny as. Like, she'd just be eating rabbit food and stuff.
Not to mention a family size bag as well.
Yeah, a family size bag of marshmallows.
It's the meth, eh? It's definitely the meth.
It's got to be the meth. I'm seeing shit in my fridge, man. Oh, yeah.
I am the gatekeeper.
Are you the key master?
You need to put down the glass pipe there, mate.
Okay, then. So my next question is, why is there anyone within a 5-block radius of the building when they're trying to get rid of the ghost? Like, there's people literally just right there down the bottom.
I don't get this because they literally just show up and start partying outside.
Yeah. Love a party, disco lights, loud, you know, the DJ or who's the big dude at the end? I forget.
No idea.
But like, oh, the two dogs, they're my dogs, you know. Oh, that's just like being at a concert. Looks like a...
But except there's huge, big concrete pieces of building, like, falling down around you.
Yeah, and like the top of the building explodes.
There's evil demon ghost alien things.
Yeah, like another dimension opens up and fucking like shit starts coming out of it.
Just another meth party at Sigourney's place, you know? Dana's just letting just loose. She just wakes up and her apartment is just trashed, eh? And it's like every weekend for her.
You really hate this woman. Sure. Eh? This is hilarious.
Well, yeah, but you know, it kind of gets in there, I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, okay.
Keymaster or whatever his name is.
Stop projecting, man. Stop fucking projecting.
Did you give an answer, Sam?
Yeah, I sure did. Like, it's literally just people just being like, there's something bad happening. Fuck it, I want to go check that out. You know?
Yeah, this is big. I want to be involved.
Plus Americans, you know. Who knows of Americans? Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? And question 19, would you guys turn down a possessed Sigourney Weaver?
I don't know. How crazy? No. Well, it's just how possessed. Like, is it? Are we talking two-person possessed? I mean, when she's floating, you're like, oh.
We're talking Zoom.
I want to get on that. Yeah.
Like, full possessed. I know what you're thinking. Okay, this technically counts as a threesome. I've always wanted to do that.
It's a devil's threesome, though, eh? Because it's old Zool's in there. Can we cook? Is Athena around or something? Like,
is there Pandora around? Can we open up her box?
Can we get a different demon in here, please? Oh, come on, mate. You got any other friends? Can you just disappear for a bit? Close your eyes.
Yes,
because how are you going to compare to a demon, man? You're always going to come up short, bro. Yeah.
Like your stature, eh, Sam?
Like my stature, Slimer. Thanks, Slimer.
So what would you say,
Slimer Chew? I'd say I'd probably turn it down. This is a little bit too weird even for me. Like, like I get down on some weird shit, but this is a little bit too fucking weird for me. I'll tell you who definitely wouldn't say no to her, and that is Dan Aykroyd. He's getting a blowjob from a ghost, and he doesn't give a fuck. Like we talked about earlier, he's just like, you know, in a fucking, in a kid's fucking film, he's getting blowjobs from ghosts.
And you know, so that's a call out to Stacey. Don't get curls.
I think don't before get curls was... and don't get possessed.
Yeah, don't get possessed. Don't yell at Zool in the bedroom. I'm Zool. I'm the gatekeeper, Sam.
Not a turn on.
If you want our sex life to slow down from zero times a year to zero times a year, then what you need to do is that.
Okay, question 20.
Anyway, that takes us down to our final question of the podcast. This is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of our man, Dave Baker, who also has his own Patreon at patreon.com/yourfavorite. The American spelling of that, there is a link down in the show notes. Go check it out. Post essays on Medium, YouTube recommendations, whole bunch of good shit. Anyway, his question, which two characters from this film would you guys want to go partying with?
There's only one answer to this question.
Is it Peter and Venkman?
Egon and Ray.
Egon and Ray. Oh, boring. The two worst dudes.
They're the only normal guys, well, relatively normal guys in this film. Everyone else is sleazy or possessed.
Yeah. I love how she says that. And yet you're hanging out with one sleazy dude and one possessed dude.
Yeah, I know. I've got to go. I'm glad this is question 20. I'm out of here.
And if listeners are wondering who's who.
Yeah.
No, Sam. Only Zool. There's another line you wouldn't want to hear after sex. That was amazing, Dana. No, Dana. Only Zool.
Okay. Nothing happens in the bedroom. Well, that's a crime. following Stacey's sentiments, it says here, sick, horny Weaver. But what am I hanging out with her at a party? And my old mate Lewis, the old accountant. We could talk about reconciling accounts and, you know, how people just can't post things to the right cost center. What? Jeepers. I'd love to hang out with me and
listeners, if you want to go Google all the forms of torture that are legal under the Geneva Convention, those are probably all the things I'd prefer to do ahead of fucking whatever party that was. Fuck that.
We had Sigourney Weaver and cheap drinks.
The two possessed party. People.
Yeah. Muchie wants to hang out with a couple of possessed dogs. I get it now. That makes a lot of sense.
What about you, Sam?
Okay, so I don't want to sound too cliche, but there's a blonde at his party, Lewis's party, that like he walks up to, and she's like, I want to go home. And he's like, just dance. And she seems like she's down for a good time. She's starting to party and all that sort of shit. But I don't know, this sounds so cliche to pick a sort of like absent-minded blonde, you know, then so I've got to go with something to even it out. So I'm going to go with the absent-minded blonde at the start of the film that Venkman's like doing the ESP fucking tricks. Oh.
Jesus, this is my answer.
I know.
I'm channeling Machu. So, no, Sam, only Machu.
The blonde and the blonde. Yeah. Is who you'd want to have at
look,
your party.
Yeah, like what you said, man, there was no one like normal in this fucking film. Like, yes, I'm going to say no to Sigourney Weaver. She gets possessed, starts floating she's off the
nice,
bed.
She's the nice girl, the girl with the cards, eh? She's so friendly.
Yeah, she is. She's fun and she's down.
Okay, you know who's actually the normal person is the guy at the cards. He's this is fucking rigged. Yes, it is.
Such a jackass, though. Come on, man.
He's not a jackass. He's the only normal person in this whole scenario.
You know, the funniest part was I actually thought of both of them because he seems to go along with just anything. So I would be like, he'd be awesome to fetch you beers.
Who's more gullible? The chick that's getting all the answers right or the dude that's getting shocked every time? Like, he's got to be the gullible one, surely.
But he called it. He got up and he's like, this is bullshit. Whereas she didn't. She's like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm psychic.
Oh, fucking hell.
She's so agreeable.
You're pissed off you didn't think of her, aren't you? Not to mention the other agreeable blonde who's like, I'm going to go home. Let's just dance. Okay. These are the people you want to party with, agreeable people that know how to have a good time, man.
Exactly. She was out and then she was straight in and he was...
Don't worry. They'll both be down the bottom of the building, you know, having concrete falling all around them, probably splattered on the pavement by now. Brains everywhere. Blood.
I'm allowed my own free rights, okay? I've got my freedoms. If concrete falls on me, it falls on me. I'm allowed to choose how I die if I want. So they probably would be like that. Anywho, that takes us down to the end. I can't believe you guys have stayed to listen to all of this.
Neither can I.
This has been... I feel like now I'm chilling Stacey. I'm chilling her for 5 years, Stacey.
I was just
and we've just
say,
done this.
Did you mean that you can't believe people listened for 5 years or just for the last 20 questions?
Sam is just hoping the same Both. Six listeners from the first episode are still here and so he gets another six listens.
Correct.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah. We will never know, will we?
Well, you will, because it'll only be three. Well, or maybe six this time.
Maybe six. Maybe we're going to set a weekly. Maybe we're going to set a weekly record and crack six. Who knows?
Maybe people thought we were going to review the new Ghostbusters film, and that's why they tuned in.
I am only going to name this fucking podcast Ghostbusters and hope people are like, oh my God, this New Zealanders live in the future and they've already got the movie. This would be a well thought out and interesting...
Oh no, we're 40 years in the past.
Exactly. Anywho, as I mentioned, that takes us down to the end. Thank you again, everyone who listened. Thank you to our Patreons for supporting the show and keeping us going. And I mean, like we joke around, but massive thanks to everyone that has listened to us over the last 5 years and kept us... cheers. It means the world to us, and we will be here for another 5 years, eh, Stace? The look of shock and horror on your face.
We will see.
We will see. Time Who knows, tell. Listeners?
Well, if you can stop them eating popcorn out of rubbish bags, Stacey, you can stop this podcast.
You've got she's failed on that, so... Don't go and look in the spare room, bro. Don't go look in the spare room. Is there dead bodies in there? No, something worse. But big ups, everyone. Upcoming episodes, new James Bond film coming out, so we will try and see that.
If you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In, or you can find us on Facebook at Movie Reviews In 20Qs. Same for Instagram. And yeah, that's... Before I go, thanks to these two for being along for the 5 years. It's been a blast, guys. It's been awesome.
Yeah, thanks for coming up with the idea, Sam, and going ahead with it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, see you guys next week. That's thanks from me.
Thanks.
Chit chit. What song would you have?
Sorry.
This is going to take hours. I can just feel it.
Oh, no.
Stop, you guys. You're not allowed to have any more drinks.
I'm going to have to restart.
Okay, I'm walking out if this continues.
Okay. And now for something incredibly special. Our original host, Spanky, actually recorded a compliment sandwich for the film Ghostbusters and sent it to us to congratulate us for making it through 5 years of whatever this is. So, yeah, here you go. Here's something special to end the podcast on. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Hello, good people. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate Movie Reviews and 20Qs for their fifth birthday and deliver to you all this evening a compliment sandwich on the original Ghostbusters. An absolute classic. The first fantastic thing about the Ghostbusters is the theme song. Nowadays they use other people's music, or you know, the Marvel movies that use other people's music, and that for a movie, the movies of old that used to have their own theme songs, and such an iconic one as Ghostbusters brings back so many memories. So the theme song. Something bad about Ghostbusters. Pretty hard to have something bad about Ghostbusters, but here you go. It's how undervalued the professors of science or parapsychology or whatever they are. You know, like nowadays you'd have to think that professors in the STEM field would have much higher regard. So the bad thing is the late 80s disdain for science and technology. The last good thing about Ghostbusters to finish my compliment sandwich would be New York City, the setting. It's actually, and the same thing now, a lot of the time movies are set in nondescript locations, I guess for production purposes or whatever, it makes them easier to not say exactly where this certain something is. So it's refreshing to watch an 80s movie and actually see the sights of New York City and actually make have you feel as though the city itself is part of the story, and the setting is part of the story. So yeah, very apt that it was one of the first, or at least the reboot was one of the first Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcasts. So congrats, Movie Reviews and 20Qs, and here's to another 5 years. Well done, Sam, Stacey, Kahu, Machu, Liz, all of the guests, and of course to the hosts, Sam and Stacey. So thanks.